HR 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Clean Origin.
I'm Monica Ricks. The U.S. State Department is watching for updates now on a helicopter crash involving Iran's president. The latest from BBC's Sebastian Usher.
Iranian media says that rescue teams are on their way to the site after reports that a helicopter in the convoy of three carrying President Raisi had had a rough landing over East Azerbaijan. There are contradictory reports of what has happened, with no official confirmation of the incident as yet.
Emergency crews are having a hard time reaching the aircraft, but should be there in about 30 minutes due to fog. An Israeli airstrike has killed 27 people in central Gaza as fighting rages on between Israel and Hamas. The BBC's Dan Johnson says this comes as White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan is set to meet with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
The U.S. has threatened Israel that if it conducts an all-out assault on Rafah, it would cease certain weapons shipments to Israel. So I think Jake Sullivan will be seeking assurances on that. He is also trying to ensure that more aid can get through, and he's bringing this question of what will happen in Gaza when the fighting finally ends.
At least one of Netanyahu's war cabinet members has threatened to leave if there's no plan in place. The war in the Middle East didn't disrupt, but it did make a mark on President Biden's address today at Morehouse College in Atlanta.
Some students stood and applauded while others stayed seated. A handful turned their chairs around with their backs to the stage.
This graduation day is a day for generations, a day of joy, a day earned, not given.
A student held up a Palestinian flag.
What's happening in Gaza and Israel is heartbreaking.
Calling for
an immediate ceasefire to stop the fighting. Bring the hostages home.
Stacey Lynn, CBS News, Washington.
People are revving up chainsaws and cleaning up storm damage today in Houston, Texas, where at least seven people died Friday. And it won't be much better this week with triple-digit heat in the forecast. Sean Diddy Combs is now apologizing for attacking his ex Cassie at a hotel in L.A. in 2016.
I take full responsibility for my actions in that video. I'm disgusted.
That video on Instagram today, but surveillance footage of the attack got leaked on CNN Friday. Diddy settled a sexual abuse and harassment lawsuit with Cassie earlier this year before the feds raided his homes in a possible sex trafficking case.
210.
And a big day for Blue Origin. America's first black astronaut candidate finally making it to space 60 years later, flying the company's rocket along with five other passengers. 90-year-old Ed Dwight is now the oldest person in space. This is CBS News.
A 5-carat certified colorless tennis bracelet is just $1,650 at cleanorigin.com. Use code RADIO10 for 10% off. That's cleanorigin.com.
The Kitchen's Open on WFHR, a feature within the morning show every Monday at 9. Join me, Melissa Kay, and my guests to learn about food-related topics that will interest and entertain.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Guaranteed income programs give no strings attached cash payments to low-income households. They can be controversial, but research shows they work. Mike Mohn has more.
The city of Madison gained attention for a program that ran from 2022 to 2023, where eligible households received $500 in monthly payments. Elsewhere in the U.S., the nonprofit Up Together has helped cities facilitate payments that come with no strings attached. The group's Rachel Barnhart says last year they helped 26,000 families access $18 million in unrestricted cash. Based on their outreach, all of it was spent on basic necessities.
Like housing, food, utilities, transportation, childcare.
She says respondents note the assistance has improved their mental well-being while allowing some to enroll their kids in after-school activities. There has been pushback, with skeptics arguing these programs discourage people from working. Even though Madison's effort was privately funded, Republican lawmakers in Wisconsin sought to prohibit taxpayer funding of these initiatives. The bill was vetoed. Barnhart says a key example from Texas shows how important the payments are during an escalating housing crisis.
What the Urban Institute found in Austin was a majority of the cash payments was spent on housing. And we saw an increase in housing stability.
She suggests a growing patchwork of these payments would serve as a shield against evictions as tenants struggle with skyrocketing rents. There are long-standing forms of cash assistance, but those come with more requirements, and Barnhart argues there's an uneven approach among states to distribute the aid to recipients. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Increasing clouds for your Sunday. Highs will reach the mid and upper 70s. We'll have light west winds. In the overnight, showers and thunderstorms will be possible as lows bottom out in the lower to middle 50s. Shower and storm chances continue on Monday. Currently 71 degrees.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
Beginning Monday and every day next week, we'll look at Project 2025.
That's Trump's plan if he becomes president.
Weekday mornings 6 until 8 on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, folks, welcome to the Cripescast. I'm your host, Charlie Behrens. This is the podcast where we talk to a bunch of folks. Some of them are from the Midwest. Others are for the Midwest. I hope they're all for the Midwest. Anyways, we are powered by Everlight Solar, and here is today's episode. Folks, we are back at it with the Cripescast. Kelly Maraca joins me today in this intro. She's the EP of the Cripescast. If you haven't listened to an episode, you wouldn't know that. So I'm letting you know. Today's episode, Christian Yelich. We need to invest in a sound machine, sound effects machine, yeah. I think, because we have some pretty limited sound effects abilities at our disposal. But anyway, Christian Yelich, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't know Christian Yelich, Milwaukee Brewers outfielder, Golden Glover, Silver Slugger, the whole situation, 2018 MVP.
For the National League. Yep.
For the NL MVP, ladies and gents. Milwaukee Brewers, been a staple of Milwaukee for quite a few years. Just super excited to have him on. We met doing a Liney's video.
Yeah.
Line and Kugel's, we did the Summer Shanty video where I was in the dugout and we met in the dugout. I was the beer guy and we were talking about, you know, athlete to athlete about our injuries. Mm-hmm. So that is where we met. Absolutely. But I think the first time we had a chance to chit chat and talk in
At
length was at his charity event. He's got a great charity event. We'll shout it out here. You can find it in the show notes. It's essentially helping kids all around Milwaukee have more access to baseball through building up their parks, their schools, and assisting with other nonprofits.
And there's another one happening this year, the Christian Yelich Home Plate Charity Concert. Tickets you can get at visitmilwaukee.org/Yelich. So, yeah, check it out.
Thank you, Colleen.
And he was absolutely right in the podcast. As a Cubs fan, we do not like him. And I didn't mention that I was a Cubs fan when he was here because I didn't want to like.
Oh, you know what? I forget you're a Cubs fan.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
In fact, I feel like I forget it often enough that it's not a huge part of your identity. And so perhaps you could just switch over to the Brewers.
The only thing worse than that would be becoming a Sox fan.
Oh, no. Yeah, that is true.
I can't. And like even going to Brewers games, like to this day, I wear neutral colors. Like I don't support the Brewers. If you guys are playing the Cubs, like I will wear a Cubs jersey.
Yeah.
So I didn't say
anything.
You know
anything, what real Cubs fans do?
Wear a Cubs game. What? Cubs jerseys.
Cubs jerseys.
I actually did
to
that.
To a Brewers game when they're not playing
I
the
I did
Cubs.
That last year.
That sucks. Because then you're just a walking billboard and you're just drawing.
No, they were playing the Cubs. It was still a Cubs game.
No, what I mean is if it's not, if they're not playing
the Cubs. Yeah, I know. I thought I did that, but I didn't. I just wear it to, like if I go to a game where I'm not cheering for either team, I'll just wear a white t-shirt.
Yeah. All right.
So.
That's your flag of surrender. Yeah.
You know funny. What else is a white flag? Is a W flag for the Cubs when they win, you know?
You know what? I don't need to. It's a big L flag. How does that sound?
Okay.
When they lose.
But yeah, so he was absolutely right when you guys were talking about that. And Yeah, it was fun, like hearing you guys chit chat about that and then making him be a part of our sketch outside.
Yeah.
Later.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Which that sucker will be coming out. We've got a How to Make a Brat sketch coming. Christian will be part of that. And Christian is also the guy who caught my opening pitch last year.
This is our first episode back.
Yeah.
And it's been a month off of April. So do you want to give like a recap of what it's been like?
Crazy.
Yeah.
Just been on the road a lot.
Yeah.
Just been on the road a lot, living life. It's been nice to take a break from the Cripes cast because we hadn't really missed many weeks for years.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was nice to take an extended time off and really build up sort of a backlog of interviews that we can show to you guys. And I think my goal with taking a month off is it's really just to make every interview count more and really do the research that is needed for all of them. And not to say we weren't doing that before, but
just get recalibrated.
Yeah. Between that and the tour and whatever, I knew, especially with this month of April, I just couldn't physically do both.
Yeah.
So thank you all for your patience on that. And from time to time, you know, we will be taking some breaks and all that with the Cripes cast. I'm trying to make a more sustainable life for myself. And sometimes I overbook and overdo, and that just means kind of everything suffers quality wise. You know, not necessarily of the product, but just of my enjoyment of life.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to enjoy life more because, you know, we only got one.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah. So anyways, folks, thanks for your patience. So excited for this interview. Every show we are trying to raise some money for Doctors Without Borders. Doctors Without Borders is a great way to help out the situation in the Middle East right now. They've been doing a lot of great work in Gaza, trying to get food in, supplies, medical supplies, people. It's been a very tough situation. It's hard to know how to help. You've heard this before, but you can check them out, doctorswithoutborders.org, and contribute some money in that way. You can also follow them on their social media. All right, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, here is my conversation with Milwaukee Brewers left fielder Christian Yelich. Life on the road, does that wear on you, or are you just used to it now?
Pretty used to it. I mean, unless there's like a really like long, late travel night or something like that, then it kind of gets to you. But for the most part, it's just autopilot at this point. It's just part of your life, part of your job, you know?
Does that mess with your sleep? Like sleeping in, like, you know, not your bed?
Sometimes like the first night in places, or if we're like bouncing time zone to time zone a lot.
Yeah.
Know, like that's when it kind of gets weird. If you're going like East Coast to West Coast or from central time zone to West Coast for like 10 days and then you come back and then everything is kind of adjusted and then messed back up, but it's kind of just part of it, you know?
Yeah. Are you now, I mean, you've been in, are you like a bougie guy with your hotels? Do you need like certain like standards, certain things tick you off? Cause you spend so much time in hotels.
I mean, we stay in pretty nice places always. Yeah. So it's, you know, it's hard to say that they're not bougie, but you know, different hotels are, you know, they're all different in their own ways, you know? But you kind of get used to it. You know, sometimes the first night in a place is a little tough, but.
Yeah. So here's the other thing I'm curious about. Cause I know that in Milwaukee, we got the Pfister,
mm-hmm.
and the Pfister is haunted. allegedly. I don't know, just so I don't get sued. But I hear like visiting, I think there's some with visiting teams stay at the Pfister and the ghost. What's the story with that?
So, I mean, yeah, I stayed at the Pfister for 5 years. I was with the Marlins.
Oh,
so,
like, okay.
I stayed there. Yeah. Before I obviously got traded to the Brewers.
Did you see ghosts?
I had no haunting experiences there. It's a thing throughout the league though. Like everybody knows about it, but I never had any experience when I was there. I think it's because it's like it's a circle, right? Like the tower is like all the rooms are in a circle, so everything kind of like echoes, I feel like. So people think
it's probably
maybe haunted. I could be wrong, but I never had any problem when I was there.
Okay, but that's a thing in baseball. Like, yeah. People know that. Are there other cities with haunted hotels, or is that special to Milwaukee?
There's one in Tampa that we used to stay at that people would say was haunted, or I guess it was in St. Pete, but I've never had a hotel haunting story or experience. Dang. I guess. Yeah, so I'm kind of not the best to speak on that, but those are like kind of the two where people I've heard people say like they've had haunting experiences.
Wow. Does it make you feel bad that you haven't been haunted yourself?
That I wasn't chosen?
Yeah.
Maybe a little. Yeah. I'd have some cool stories.
I know.
I got nothing. Or maybe it's because maybe it was happening. I just passed out and didn't know.
Wow. That's crazy. I never know, like, if you've got to be like a certain special someone to get haunted.
I don't know. I don't know who would ask about that.
Were you just, was that a diss on me right there? Who would ask about that?
I don't know who we'd ask.
No. Well, here it is on the Cripes Cast. Are you a car guy?
I wouldn't say I'm like a huge car guy. I don't know. I don't know a ton about like cars or engines or certain specs like that, you know?
Yeah. Is there a car that you remember your parents driving from growing up? Where you still see that car, you're like, that's my dad's car. That's my mom's car.
I remember, I don't know what exactly it was. I guess maybe it'd be like a Suburban, but maybe that's like the Tahoe now, I guess. Something like that, because we had three brothers. So, you know, you can need a lot of room to drive everybody around. So like we were always piling in the back of that. Shuttled around everywhere when we were kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you guys get in the fights in the back of the car?
I don't know if it was, I mean, obviously, yeah, childhood fights, but I don't know if we ever got him in the back. I'm sure there was a time, you know, just
sure.
Chances are three boys growing up together. I'm sure there was some backseat car scuffles.
Yeah. I met your brother over at your charity event last year. He's the realtor. Yeah.
Yeah. He's him. And then, I got a younger brother too, that he hasn't been out to Wisconsin in a while.
What? Well, why the hell not?
I don't know. Yes. We'll have to get him out here.
Well, yeah, I think so. Who was like the winner of the fights? Who was the alpha dog amongst the brothers?
I don't know if there was. I mean, I was the oldest one. I'd say now my youngest brother would probably be the one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's a pretty big kid and can handle himself a little bit. So I think now he would be the one that's coming up on top. But I don't know. We didn't have any like too bad of like. You know, there's never any like broken noses or anything like
that. Oh, really?
There was never anything like that. It was just, you know, sibling bickering and fighting back in the day.
Got it. No stitches, nothing like that.
I don't think any ever, no stitches from fist fights. I think we've all had our fair share of stitches as kids, but no, not from fighting, no.
Man, that's cool. That's lucky. Me and my brothers, like very young, me and my other brother broke my little brother's femur. And then my brother got stitches right here. I got this scar. That's because we were playing American Gladiators. You remember that show?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We were playing on the kitchen table or on the dining room table, and he got me with a pillow. You remember the ones where you're doing that?
Right in the lip.
Yeah. He hit me in the head, and then I fell and I cut my. So he won that round, that bout. Do you ever feel like they should bring American Gladiators back?
I feel like they've tried, right?
I don't know.
I think like in the last few years, I feel like I've seen that somewhere. Where
Now that I say that,
like bring that back like a year or two ago, or maybe a little bit longer.
Do you think if you retire from baseball, you would play in American Gladiators?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know what I'll do when I'm done playing. I obviously want to do something because I'll probably still be fairly young in life. But I don't know. I don't know if maybe something not physical anymore.
Oh, yeah.
You know, maybe just give the body a rest after all those years.
You
know?
Yeah. You got, first of all, how is your back?
It's doing all right. Just kind of manage it and just wear and tear of playing, you know, and sometimes it gets pissed off and flares up and you just kind of have to deal with it. And sometimes it lasts longer than others. You don't really know. You just try to take care of it and manage it as best as possible.
Yeah. Cause you were playing yesterday and you kind of just dumped out in the
a few days ago, just kind of got it a little bit in the first inning of the game. And you know, once that happens, it's like you can't really do anything about it. You're done, you know. And you try to just manage it as best as possible, catch it early if possible, and then go from there. Sometimes it clears up quick, sometimes it kind of lingers for a little while. So you know, that's what I'll be doing after this, going into the the stadium and get that worked on and see if we can get that thing knocked out.
Yeah. Do you have, what do? You do ice bath, you do like needling, you do something interesting you want to share?
Pretty much everything. You know, we're there for hours, you know.
Really?
So I get there, play a 7 o'clock game. Usually they're on like 1:30 anyway, even if you're playing. So, now I'll probably not play tonight. So I'll be obviously in there getting worked on, doing rehab PT stuff before the game, during the game, maybe a little bit after. So it'll be pretty regimented day of trying to get this thing better and then see where we go.
Got you. Yeah. I mean, cause by the way, congrats on a great season so far. How does that feel? Like, I feel like, and I'm not, super into the baseball numbers and everything, or like a hardcore gambling fanatic, because I'm actually going to the game tonight.
Are you?
But I'm not like, there are those guys that are like drilling down on stats.
Yeah.
They're betting on games. They know everything. I'm like a fan, but I'm not that kind. I feel like a few different types of fans. There's a spectrum.
Yeah. So we experience them all.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm not a guy on Twitter like talking smack after the game. Does that annoy you when people go on Twitter and just like give you crap or teammates crap? Or
I mean, it's such a thing now. Like when you're just being a pro athlete, like that's such a part of it now, especially like you said with gambling.
Yeah.
Like every night, if you don't get a hit that night or something, like you can go on your social media and you can just scroll forever about people just hating you for, messing up their parlay or their bet, or it's like, I didn't get a hit tonight because I knew you bet on me. So, it's like,
you're in charge of their gambling addiction. Like,
I'm not going to get a hit tonight because I knew you bet on me. Like, come on, guy.
Do you think the gambling thing has made the social media hate worse?
Yeah, 100%. Like, not even close. I mean, you used to get it anyway if you like didn't play well, but that was just from like fans of like just being mad at you for not doing well. But now with gambling, it doesn't even have to be like people that watch your games. It's like they just kind of choose you in their bets and then they don't cash and they're pissed off at you. But such is life as a pro athlete now. It's just kind of part of the game. And people yell at you from the stands or like whatever they bet on you, like when you're like warming up and stuff, like, really? I need you to do this tonight. Just yell it. And then if you don't get it, they're pissed. If you do get it, they're in the stands, like super happy with you, like stoked in the game. So it's become a wild experience actually as an athlete with like how much more prevalent gambling's like become in sports, Cause I feel like each year kind of progresses and it becomes like more and more popular and more people like bet on it.
Right.
So it's definitely like changed that aspect of it, of like your social media and stuff like that. And I think you just kind of get used to it. Like I don't even care.
Yeah.
Like if someone's going to yell at you on Instagram or Twitter or whatever, you're like, cool, man. Like, get in line. There's a long line of people here that are pissed off. So,
right.
It is what it is.
Overall, do you think it's better for the game or worse for the game?
I don't know. I mean, it has people invested in it and it's not going to go away. Like it's only going to become more incorporated into the game. I feel like it'll become more prevalent in like in the in-game experience, I'm sure it'll be in ballparks. I don't know in the near future, but at some point, like you'll probably be able to sit in your seat and bet whatever, at some point in the future, because especially for like how far it's come in such a short time already, like there's going to be, I feel like it'll just keep going. But it's the entertainment industry after all, right?
So it's true.
If you can keep people entertained, they're more invested in the sport. It's kind of good for everybody. And, it's just kind of a byproduct of being a pro athlete now is you deal with that.
Yeah. And money's going to drive it. I mean, same thing with like, with sort of the rules changing in baseball and like the different entertainment elements added, like, how do you feel about the clock? How do you feel about the props during the home runs? How do you feel about like all these changes we've seen over the past few years?
I like the clock a lot because it just keeps the game moving, like it keeps it. It's usually they're all pretty much sub 3 hours now. If you play a 3 hour game, you feel like it lasted forever. And before, like if you play a 3 hour game, you're like, wow, that flew, but so I think that's good. There's not really much wasted time anymore. It's kind of just the game just moves with the clock. So I'm a big fan of the clock. The home run props, I don't know. I'm not a huge, we don't do one anymore. We had one for a little while and then we're like, ah, man, you're not going to do it. Just because, like, I don't, like, if you're, like, down 9 runs in the 9th inning, someone hits a homer, and it's like,
you're like, put all your shit on, or whatever. You know,
run around the dugout. It's like, oh, we're only down 8. It's like, ah, I don't know if I love this. And it's just like, I don't know. Like, we don't need it. If you do it enough times, it's like, you know, you look at all, like, the best teams, I feel like they don't really have one.
Yeah. I mean, where did that come from? Like, is that,
I don't,
like,
really know. It kind of came out of nowhere. Like, I forgot who, I don't know what team did it first. And then once I feel like people saw, like, one team do it, then, like, other teams started doing it. And yeah, I don't know.
Gotcha.
I don't know where it started, but we don't have one. We didn't have one, like, the second half of last year. We haven't had one at all this year. We're not going to have one this year.
And gotcha. Then,
you know, we're just going to go out and try and win every night.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. I do, through the course of this, have a few various fan questions, and one is kind of related to what we're talking about. This is Andy Roffey. He is a Cubs fan.
Okay.
And he is a Fib. And do you know what a Fib is? Being here, Fib is effing Illinois bastard.
Okay.
So makes a lot of sense, you know, appropriate thing. He wants to know, have you, as a Cubs fan, have you spoken with counsel since he went to the Cubs, and how do you feel about playing the Cubs coming up?
Yeah, I spoke to counsel after he made his decision. You know, he called most of us, told us what he was doing. And, you know, and then I actually ran into him in Arizona when we were out there in spring training. We just, like, accidentally were same place, same time in a restaurant. And so we caught up there a little bit and talked, but I'm happy. I'm super happy for him. You know, obviously I understand the hard feelings Brewers fans, people are gonna have him going to the Cubs because of the whole rivalry deal. But at the end of the day, I mean, he got compensated extremely well for, what he does. And in my opinion, he's one of the best managers in baseball. And, you can't fault them. You know, it's no different than, in my eyes, as a player being a free agent and, you know, getting the highest offer from somebody else. And it blows a lot of the other ones out of the water. And, you gotta go take care of your family and do that whole deal. And, I don't fault them, you know, one bit. It doesn't change my feelings about him. It doesn't change what we were able to do as a team, you know, in his tenure here and all those great memories. And, you know, I've learned a lot from him, and I know he appreciates everything that we were able to do as a team, in his time here. And then, you know, things change, people move on. It's part of sports, you know, free agents sign with other teams. He was a free agent, you know, and that's what happens in free agency and in sports. You know, I understand the hard feelings there from a fan perspective, but, you know, me knowing counts personally, like, I he's a great guy, great person. And, you know, really happy for him and his family.
Awesome. That's great. Well, going into, you know, Chicago, do you think there's going to be, like, an extra thing in the rivalry given that, or do you think it's going to soften the rivalry?
No, it's not going to soften it. It's not going to soften it. But, you know, look, the games are decided by the players on the field. The coaching staffs and managers put you in the best positions to succeed. You know, like, they want to put you in moments where they think you're going to have the most success. But ultimately, the games are decided by the guys on the field. And look, it's become a pretty big rivalry. It's always been a rivalry, but I feel like in the last few years, it's been a pretty big rivalry, like us and the Cubs. And especially when we go to Chicago, you know, our fans don't like them. Their fans definitely don't like us. You know, I know I'm not very well liked in that stadium.
That's got to feel good, though.
Yeah. I mean, look, you don't want them cheering for you.
Right.
That means, you know, that means they're doing well and you guys aren't. So, you know, you want to go there. You want to be hated. It's fun. It adds a good excitement to the game. And, you know, look, I'm sure that's just going to add, like, another element to the rivalry. But we're going to want to still win, even though, you know, obviously counts has been with us for a long time, but that doesn't change, you know, our feelings and our goals for the year. It's just kind of a new chapter in Brewers baseball. People move on, people do their thing. And, look, I'll be friends with counts forever. You know, it doesn't change the fact that he manages the Cubs or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah. What team's got the worst fans?
The worst fans? I mean, honestly, it depends on a nightly basis. So you could be anywhere and, you know, you could be just getting crushed that night, just in a random city. It just depends who's in the crowd, you know?
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, when we play the Cubs, I get it for three straight hours, you know, the whole game, probably longer than that. I get it from batting practice on to the end of the game. But, you know, there's nothing better than sending a crowd of 40,000 people home sad. You know? Yeah. So we always enjoy going down there and playing those guys and hopefully winning. But yeah, I mean, you have the New Yorks, the Phillies, the, you know, San Francisco, actually, they'll kind of get after you a lot out there.
Yeah.
Especially Cincinnati a little bit too, randomly, like,
really,
they like to talk. They like to talk out there.
What's the worst thing someone said to you from the stands?
The worst thing?
Yeah.
They'll come out. I mean, you hear some really, really, really bad things out there some nights. Like, really? Some stuff where you're like, man, like, why would, you know, like, this isn't the zoo, man. Like, you right. know, I feel like people just, you know, when they buy a ticket to a game and they're in the stands and there's a, you're on the field and there's a fence and it's just like, all right, anything goes, you know? And sometimes you're like, nah, that's not cool. You know, if you're saying something funny and you're just like giving me a hard time,
yeah,
whatever, you know, I'll laugh at it if it's funny, but sometimes you're like, man, that's kind of crossing the line.
Funniest thing someone said, do you remember any of it?
I don't know about the funniest. I don't know the funniest thing. I think it was my rookie. It was like early on in my career. I think we were in Atlanta somewhere and someone said that, I look like the giraffe from the Atlanta Zoo. And he starts singing like the Madagascar song.
Are you kidding me?
That one was pretty funny. I remember that one for whatever reason. Like that one sticks out. But you hear some pretty funny, like you hear some funny stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you hear a mix of everything, you know, every night, and it's part of it. You know, it doesn't really bother you. You just kind of just ignore it. And it is what it is. Cause once you acknowledge it, it gets way, way worse.
Yeah.
You know, if you kind of start interacting or, you know, you try to start kind of giving it back.
You can't feed the trolls.
Yeah. You just kind of let it go and it is what it is. But as soon as you like acknowledge that you can hear it or you're like paying attention to it, bad move.
But
bad
to move. Be clear, you can hear it.
Most of the time, I mean, if there's not a big crowd, you can pretty much hear it all.
Okay.
If there's like a larger crowd and there's a lot of like ambient noise and not as much, but if they're like those random, you know, a weekday game and it's not a big crowd, or, you know, you have like a rain game and there's been a delay and like the crowd's kind of gone, there's only a few people left, like you can definitely hear it.
Yeah.
They're screaming it at you.
Right, right, yeah. Right.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. Still no word if Iran's president is okay following a hard landing of his helicopter this morning. Iran's interior minister spoke through an interpreter.
On the return journey, the president and others accompanying him were coming back in several helicopters. One of the helicopters were forced to make a rough landing due to bad weather conditions and fog in the area.
President Biden called for an immediate ceasefire in the Middle East during his speech today at Morehouse College.
What's happening in Gaza and Israel is heartbreaking. Innocent Palestinians caught in the middle of all of this. Men, women, and children killed or displaced in despite and desperate need of water, food, and medicine.
And Maryland Governor Wes Moore gave an update on the Key Bridge collapse today on NBC, but was later asked about Biden's upcoming debate against